Welcome to Brad Kyle's Brad's Motorworks podcast. We'll be talking about some things about BMW, some things of cars in general, and some things about car repair. I hope you find it educational, enlightening, and I hope it increases your understanding of your car. And maybe along the way we'll have some fun too. Thank you for listening, and here we go. Episode number 84, Advanced Electronics, Self-Driving Cars, and Electric Vehicles Delayed. For those of you that have been kind of following along here with these different episodes, you may realize that about a month ago I did episode number 80, which was entitled Self-Driving Cars, Update of Where We Are. This one, number 84, the one I'm going to talk about now, is along the same lines. However, it is updated information. And frankly, they also, it's kind of tended to expand upon, things like electric vehicles and advanced electronics and so on and so forth. This particular episode, I am going to be reading from directly from two different articles. These are articles that are in Automotive Repair Trade Magazine, so this is information that's not necessarily available generally to the normal general public because these magazines go out to professional repair shops. So the first one is from a magazine called Motor Magazine. The author is Bill Howard. Now, he writes a monthly column that's called Eye on Electronics. The headline on this one is, COVID-19 might delay autonomous vehicles further into the 2030s as companies are scaling back R&D. Automakers aren't racing toward full self-drive. They want to get the industry restarted first. So, this one's a pretty good one. There's going to be a lot of information. I'm just going to read through it, and we'll go from there. When you're up to your butt in alligators or in a pandemic, you set aside the mission of draining the swamp. When you're the auto industry in 2020, that means you concentrate on staying solvent by restarting production and selling excess inventory. To conserve capital, you slow walk the development of self-driving Level 4 and Level 5, the highest level of autonomy, into the 2030 to 2035 timeframe. That was already a common estimate among experts who believe that full self-driving will happen, but there remains a bunch of skeptics, smart skeptics, who doubt will fully resolve the worst-case scenarios. Automakers will continue to put more driver assists and more vehicles on more trim lines, providing partial autonomy. They're doing it because the costs are lower each year, but never zero. And there's pressure from safety and insurance groups who demand more safety electronics for any vehicle to be awarded the highest safety rating. The added sensors and AI algorithms reduce the number of fender benders. But no good deed goes unpunished. And when a 10-mile-per-hour impact takes out a vehicle's tech-laden front bumper and shroud, the repairs cost can be spectacular. I've talked about that in some previous episodes I've done, as far as cost versus benefit type of analysis. Automakers can push back higher-level autonomy for a couple of years in the wake of the pandemic, but autonomy and electrification are the industry's two main directions for the next 25 years, just as safety, fuel efficiency, emissions, and reliability have driven technology in the last 25. Sometimes big change is the sum of many little improvements. As for autonomy, 3 to 5 years ago, the Boulder automaker said we'd have hands-off self-driving vehicles by now. Again, this episode is in happens to be July 18th. Yeah, July 18th, 2020 is the time I'm doing this episode. So, just to give you a reference, in 2017, Ford's then CEO Mark Fields in a CNBC interview said, "I quote, Ford will have a Level 4 vehicle in 2021." No gas pedal, no steering wheel, and the passenger will never need to take control of the vehicle in a predefined area. Ford planned to bypass Level 3 autonomy, where the vehicle can be autonomous at times, but the driver must be ready to take over, and go to L4 full autonomy, full in certain places, say an interstate or a defined urban bus route. Level 5 is full autonomy everywhere, all conditions where a human would drive. Also in 2017, GM CEO Mary Barra said, "We expect to be the first high-volume auto manufacturer to build fully autonomous vehicles to a mass production, in a mass production assembly plant." Current Ford CEO Jim Hackett in 2019 admitted, "We overestimated the arrival of autonomous vehicles. Ford will have a self-driving fleet in 2021, Hackett says, but its applications will be narrow, what we will call geo-fenced, because the problem is so complex." Again, that's something I mentioned before. There were my own personal, you know, feelings is that there's just, I think some of the techno people and stuff are just really looking way ahead, and they're really not taking into consideration the amount of computations that the human mind goes through as we're driving. Okay. So anyway, just my feeling on that. Okay. Back to the article. None have been bolder than Tesla CEO Elon Musk and the aggressively named autopilot function. Last year, Musk said some Teslas would get a software update to enable level 5 autonomy, the kind so good a vehicle doesn't need a steering wheel. That didn't happen. What also didn't happen, yet, up to 1 million Tesla Model 3s, when not in use by their owners, would be in a robo-taxi fleet this year. Again, I've talked about that in previous episodes, and robo-taxi meaning that you as the owner of the vehicle can actually rent it out, so to speak, when you're not using it, okay? And again, that's it's through your cell phone and so on and so forth. And again, I've done an episode about that where I've talked about some of the positive and negative implications of that kind of a scenario. So, meanwhile, in May of this year, GM's autonomous EV company, Cruise Automation, laid off about 150 people, or 8% of its workforce, according to Reuters. Cruise is working on a robo-taxi, the Cruise Origin, meant to ferry up to 6 people in facing seats. This is the kind of vehicle providing semi-custom mass transit. Picks you up no more than a block or two from home. Drops. Got to change pages here, folks. Sorry. Drops you off a block or two from work, cheaper than Lyft or a taxi, and more direct than driving to a bus or train station. But in the near term, it's uncertain how many people will abandon their vehicles to ride with strangers when coronavirus is on their minds. Cruise is considered one of the top tier of companies working on automation, along with Waymo, Argo, Aptiv, and Aurora. Whether reduced investments in 2020 will really delay self-driving vehicles to a decade from now is unclear. Scaled back investments now might delay things by a year, but the time when we get to full self-driving anywhere could still be from 2030 to 2040, to some say never. Okay, long time, never. Why? And here, again, this is based on some reading I've done in the past. Researchers continue to learn about more edge cases, something that happens only in extreme circumstances, whose solutions require more R&D now, more processing power in future vehicles, and possibly more sensors. Edge cases could be a newspaper blowing across the road that appears to a sensor to have the shape of a human. Or it could be the unmarked actual edge of a road cut into a hill with no guardrail. Either one of those, folks, would not be good if you were to, you know, you're driving along and a piece of paper that's rather large blows in front of the car and your car inadvertently on its own slams on its brakes or does some sort of evasive maneuver that ends up not being good. Or the other side of it is that, like he was just saying, there you're next to a cliff, there's no guardrail, and the car can't recognize the edge of the road. Okay, so it potentially drives right into it or scuffs along it or whatever the case may be. So anyway, that's why the low-hanging fruit of self-driving will be on unlimited access highways or fixed routes such as a hotel shuttle, a campus bus, or an electrified tractor carrying a 40-foot container from the port of Long Beach to a warehouse 10 miles away. Sam Abul Samed, an analyst with Guidehouse Insights, formerly Navigant Research, said, "I don't see COVID-19 necessarily having any real impact on development of automated driving technology. As it stands, we're still several years from any sort of wide-scale deployment of even L4, especially for robo-taxis. I expect goods delivery L4 vehicles to gain traction before robo-taxis. Anything that looks L5, the ability to operate without human oversight or intervention anywhere and anytime, is unlikely before 2030, and we are likely to encounter challenges beyond COVID-19 before that happens. L4 is still facing significant technical challenges and has yet to be validated to be even safe as humans, let alone safer. Okay, that's the goal here, to get back off of text. The goal, of course, is to take us, human beings, out of the driving scenario, okay, or equation that supposedly, again, people say, some people say, well, the car is, will be smarter than the human being. Not yet. Okay. And as I just mentioned, some people seem to think it never will be, because of these different, you know, way out cases of things that could happen that, let's face it, unless that computer is programmed or it has one heck of an AI type situation, it won't know necessarily what to do. Okay. So not good. Phil Magny, president of VSI Labs, a tech consultancy, is even less upbeat on full autonomy. He said, "There are known and unknown conditions that will never prohibit full level 5 deployment, in my opinion. At the moment, the planned robotaxi deployments are all level 4, where they operate largely on predetermined and highly mapped routes. This includes specific highways, lanes, times of day, and predefined drop-off and pickup points. Through this decade, we'll get more, better, and cheaper implementation of level 2 autonomy, effectively combining adaptive cruise control and lane centering, as well as semi-official level 2 plus, where the vehicle can change lanes, make highway exits, and merge into traffic. The driver still has to monitor traffic conditions, but it makes long drives less tiring, and it protects drivers from moments of inattention. It will save the lives of teens who are texting and don't see the panic braking car just ahead. As I've said before, the number one cause of death among 18 to 25-year-olds is distracted driving, i.e. using their phone, okay, or spending too much time talking with their friends. We're on the cusp of level 3, and we should see some vehicles by 2021. That might include models from Acura, Honda, Audi, BMW, Cadillac, Ford, Hyundai, Kia, Mercedes-Benz, Tesla, and Volvo. Audi was poised to be first with Traffic Jam Pilot on the A8, its flagship sedan. The company pulled back this spring for several reasons. The current A8 is late in its life cycle. World regulators could not agree on a common approach process for L3 functionality, and Audi reportedly had liability concerns if owners failed to maintain the system properly. Again, that's something I've talked about previously in other episodes. Okay. Additionally, many automakers have said that if a self-driving vehicle is in an accident, the automaker would take responsibility, which, of course, they don't want to. Okay. Again, this is off text right now. And again, I've talked about that in other episodes. Okay, so back to the text. Cadillac is talking about an enhanced Super Cruise Level 2 system on the 2021 Cadillac CT5, CT4, and new 2021 Escalade. It sits on a new digital platform with more CPU power and bandwidth. At the least, it will have automated lane change. Super Cruise differs from most lower-level autonomous systems because it carries exacting mapped data for 200,000 miles of major highways in North America. That makes Cadillac a contender to bring a strong Level 3 offering soon. Cadillac this spring announced... I have to scratch my nose. Boy. Where was I? Where did it go? Wow, there it is. Okay, I'm sorry. Cadillac this spring announced it's developing a follow-on codenamed Ultra Cruise that would be self-driving on city streets as well as highways. L3 is a big jump because it's here that the vehicle is in charge. Per the specs, the vehicle can hand off control with notice. Test drive miles show drivers fall asleep, no surprise. So in other words, while they're doing the testing on this to see how the interaction is, people, because they're not doing anything, have fallen asleep, okay? So again, to say, test drive miles show drivers fall asleep, no surprise, and need as much as 2 to 3 minutes to be fully functional. That's the person, by the way, not the car. But it's possible that the vehicle might need to hand off faster than that. So some automakers and scientists suggest bypassing Level 3 for Level 4, where the handoff would be at specific places, such as leaving an interstate for smaller local roads. In recognition of the uncertainties over how far autonomy advances and how soon leading supplier NVIDIA is promoting scalable architecture systems from Level 1, single advanced driver assist systems such as windshield cameras, through Level 2 Plus, semi-autopilot to Level 5 robotaxi. The new Ampere processor architecture and drive AGX Orion CPU will operate anywhere from 10 TOPS, that's tera operations, and 5W to 2,000 TOPS and 800W. Its main rival is Mobileye, owned by Intel. Some automakers use Intel Mobileye on some vehicles, NVIDIA on others. NVIDIA's push is to be a single low-to-high solution. Okay, that's the end of that article. Again, you know, a lot of electronic stuff, you know, so on and so forth. This next article is from a trade magazine called Ratchet Ranch. Interesting name. This one is called Breakdown. It's written by Matt Hudson. And this one's titled, Three Ways COVID-19 Affects EV Growth, in other words, electric vehicle. Automakers are eyeing a return to operation at factories after the coronavirus outbreak led to worldwide closures. The short-term headwinds are clear. But news recently emerged that indicates a potential long-term effect of this unprecedented time. Company after company is putting electric vehicle production on hold, even the big names. Aftermarket analyst Jim Lang noted in his recent newsletter that, indeed, big changes are afoot in the wake of coronavirus. He predicted that 1 million in potential EV sales will disappear as a result. Lower total vehicle sales and a number of disincentives to purchase EVs mean that the projected sales of nearly 2 million electric vehicles during 2020 to 2023, which is part of many expert scenarios for the elimination of ICE vehicles on U.S. roads. ICE meaning internal combustion engine, in other words, a regular gasoline powered engine. Okay, there was people that were talking about the elimination of ICE vehicles by 2023 on U.S. roads. Yeah, sure. I for one am not getting rid of my car. Okay, so sorry. You know, the government can't force you to buy something. Okay. That's why, again, and I've said this before, not to get political or anything, but that's why Obamacare basically had to start to become basically a tax. Okay. It'd be like the government trying to say to you that everyone now has to go to Starbucks every day and buy a coffee. Okay. It's not going to happen. Okay. So, same scenario. So, nation of ICE vehicles on U.S. roads will be slashed by more than half, Lang wrote. Let's start with Ford. The much-anticipated Mustang Mach-E will not reach owners, many of whom have placed reservations already as soon as planned. The Detroit Free Press reported that the delays don't affect U.S. customers yet, but European deliveries won't come until at least November of 2020. Another Ford-backed venture also announced delays. Customers will have to wait until 2021 for the Rivian R1T pickup, reports CNET Roadshow. The startup electric utility vehicle company got major investments from Ford and Amazon. The original delivery schedule was for late 2020. In luxury news, Lincoln won't be bringing an EV with its own badge to market in the near future. Roadshow confirmed with the company this spring that development has been put on hold. Plans are still in the works. Eventually, though, there isn't a firmer date yet. The eventual Lincoln EV will utilize Rivian's platform. General Motors shelved another high-profile EV in its electric Hummer. The company announced that the public debut of the new Hummer is delayed due to the pandemic, but development should remain on track for a 2021 release. GM's electric sales, the Bolt, also experienced a setback. The model refresh will come in 2022 rather than 2021, according to Green Car Reports. Lang points to three factors that are effects of the coronavirus pandemic. Gotta change pages here, folks. Bear with me. Sorry. and will ultimately slow the rise of EV adoption among drivers. First, consumers will be even more skeptical of EV's higher price tags, a barrier that proponents had been getting closer to breaching. But now, Lang wrote, as the crush of an economic slump sets in, consumers won't be reaching for that more expensive option. The second factor relates to a domino effect that COVID-19 produced. The pandemic led to work-at-home orders worldwide, which meant that fewer people were on the roads, much fewer. In Minnesota, for example, it only took a week for average traffic to drop by 30% through those speeding increased. All right, there we go. The sharp drop in demand led to an oversupply of gas, which led to a free fall for oil prices. Gas prices between $1 and $2 doesn't make consumers lust after an EV, Lang wrote. Third, Lang said that government-backed financial incentives won't be as available for buyers in a financial crunch. These incentives have been critical to boosting EV sales during the past few years, Lang said. You know, again, I've said that in a number of previous podcasts I've done where the tax incentives that are available for people to buy electric vehicles eventually are going to go away. And electric vehicles are not cheap to make, okay? You know, they're expensive. And you really have to look at if you're not driving very far, then it really doesn't make sense to have one because, again, you're not you know, seeing the benefit of it from a cost versus usage type scenario. So, and lastly, Lang has had a sharp eye on the future of internal combustion powered engines. He previously predicted that the peak of internal combustion powered vehicles on the road would be in 2035. Given these new factors, Lang provided an updated prediction. The unprecedented and abrupt impact of the 2020 virus, Black Swan, means that peak ICE will not occur before 2035 and could be delayed years beyond that, Lang wrote. By 2033, that will add over 40 million more ICE vehicles than there are today on U.S. roads. Excuse me. That also means that EV producers already in the market, namely Tesla, might enjoy a slightly longer lead on competitors. With other big automakers paring down developmental plans, Tesla remains the source of 3 of every 4 EVs sold in the U.S., according to a CNBC report. So, a lot going on. You know, again, the reason I picked these two articles is because they a lot of information, and it was, again, just an update that came across my desk in the last month. You know, I think it's a lot of good information. I think that, you know, people, it's going to take, I think, personally, a lot longer than what people, a lot of people think as far as, you know, getting back to autonomous cars. There's a lot going on in the driving experience and what we as humans do as far as making decisions that we don't even realize we're doing. I mean, it's like learning to ride a bike, you know, or something like that. There's a lot of things going on that a machine, it's going to have a lot of learning to be able to work properly, so. And we have to decide whether or not we're willing to put our lives into a machine that can break, you know, can break down, okay? So, anyway, that's it for this one. I appreciate you listening. I hope you got something out of it. Again, you know, someone who's following technology and stuff, hopefully they found it interesting. So, and you found it interesting. So, appreciate your time. Again, as usual, if you want to get a hold of me via email, it's bkpodcast5@gmail.com. I do appreciate any kind of feedback, and certainly, again, getting here up to episode number 83 or 84, I am always looking for new ideas or subjects or titles, whatever you want to call it, as far as things to talk about. If I need to research it or whatever, that's fine. I don't mind doing that. And, you know, I could put together an episode and put it out there, and we'll all know something more, hopefully, about cars and the driving experience and all the technology that goes into them and so on and so forth. So appreciate your time. Appreciate you listening. I have a shop in Newbury Park, California, Brad's Motorworks. I have a couple of web pages if you want to check me out on that. I do work exclusively only on BMWs, but I certainly try to get myself, you know, well-educated in the other things that are going on out there. So appreciate you listening. I hope you have a fantastic day and a great tomorrow. Thank you again. Thank you for listening to this episode. It's been an honor and a privilege to spend time with you. I hope you found this of value. Please share it with family and friends. Above all else, with all you're getting, get understanding. May God bless you and keep you, and thank you again.